If I start talking, I should be shushed.
You'll have to do the Picard. Shut up, Vess.
Now presenting the Webcomic Beacon Newscast.
Welcome one and all to the newscast. It is the Webcomic Beacon, episode 159, the newscast for January 30th, 2011. You can find all this and more, of course, at our website, the Webcomic Beacon, which can be found at webcomicbeacon.com. I'm your host, Ross Scott of the System, of systemcomic.com. Comics will be posted till morale improves. With me today, we've switched up the cast a little bit. Alex is currently dead in a ditch somewhere, so replacing her as our local female correspondent is Jules Rivera. Rivera, how you doing, Jules?
I am good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Would you like to pimp out a website?
Sure. I am the author of, it used to be Mars Rocket, but now I've moved on to a new comic. It's Valkyrie Squadron at www.valkyriesquadron.com. There will be kind of a big update posted later on this week, I'm guessing about Thursday, so go ahead and check it out. Right now posted on there is the 3-page Ashcan preview, so you can kind of see a little bit what the story's about, but something big is coming around Thursday. Keep your eyes peeled.
Well, it is colorful and pretty.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you for making something colorful and pretty. So, speaking of colorful and pretty... also with us today is Eric of Exeren.com. Hey, Eric.
I had a clever intro and you completely threw me off with colorful and pretty.
It's a skill.
Words that have never been applied to me ever. We have to watch out for the universe imploding in on itself now. But yes, my name's Eric. I make the comic Exeren, EXIERN.com, along with a couple others. And I've been collecting a lot of the news lately.
Yeah, that's right. Most of the news that you've heard here on the newscast, including in today's episode, was actually scrounged by our own news hound, Eric. So thanks very much to him on behalf of me and the entire Webcomic Beacon network of gnomes. Okay, let's launch into the first story. I'll kick us off with this one. What's that?
You're forgetting someone.
Oh, I am. Of course. today, you know, I'm the Santorian man himself. Yeah. Mark is also with us today.
Well, hello there.
Usually it's just women that forget about me.
Yeah, he called you Santorian. That's a vocabulary word right there.
I am Mark's not 100.
Mark Savory, no, Santorian means you have a deep and charismatic voice.
Oh, with an S, not a C. Okay.
Centurion.
I thought you were saying I was like some old Roman.
I thought you were talking about like a four-legged, half-horse, half-man beast. That's a centaur. Okay, never mind.
It just gets worse.
Welcome to the Webcomic Beacon.
Girls like horses.
Gang of Idiots. that's going to be the new name. Mark, what's your website?
Autumnlake.com.
Awesome. Okay. I think we're finally ready to move on. Thank God. Okay. First up, yet another article about Comixology. They seem to be, we can't get away from them. They're growing so fast. This story comes to us from MTV Geek, the new geek section of MTVnews.com.
Is this a teenager don't get pregnant?
Yeah, pretty much. This section, Comixology is starting basically an affiliate program, which seems to be, from the press release, very similar to kind of the Amazon affiliate program, where you can get extra cash for sending people links and also digital digital sales and reading platform direct embedded directly on a retailer's website is a great opportunity for retailers to participate in the digital comic business, says David Steinberger, CEO of Comixology.
Yep, like a pretty sweet deal.
It's a sweet deal, but it's really to keep the direct market from completely freaking out about digital comics. I mean, because they're seeing their market share shrink, and so Comixology is saying, here, we'll give you this affiliate program. Don't hate us that much.
Of course, it all depends on whether or not the comic book store has a website.
Yeah.
And what kind of traffic it gets.
The new millennium. Okay, it's 2011. If you have a business and you do not have a website, take your stagecoach, talk to your nearest web designer. I mean, seriously? Stagecoach.
I'm for hire. I'm just going to say.
But at the same time, have you ever...
Buggy on the case, man. This is not okay to have a business in 2011 with no website.
All right, what was that, Eric?
But have you ever said, I need to check the website for my comic book store? I mean, is there ever a reason outside of what's the hours of the comic book store? Is there any reason you've ever gone there outside of...
They can try. I mean, I think a good comic book store should be doing that. I mean, I know the local comic book store that I go to here in D.C., there's one called Phantom Comics. They're great. You can check them out online, F-A-N-T-O-M. They do a lot of, like, highlighting not just their new releases, but reviews of their new releases and why you should care about them on their website. And also they have a e-newsletter that I subscribe to. And like, it's, I mean, they try, you know?
Okay.
I suppose if they had like a club, you know, get a discount on comics, join the club on our website. But if you're if you're a really small comic book store, I don't even think the one downtown where I live even has a website.
Yeah,
but I could be wrong, but I've never looked, like Eric said. I mean, who goes and looks?
I mean, there are two types. There was another article that didn't make the cut here, but there was talking about what the comic book store of the future has to look like.
Right.
And the basic thing is they have to stop being creepy.
There are a lot of comic book stores
that you're going in here and you're saying, I may not get out of here alive.
and you're actually, you're a good-sized guy. I'm a little girl. How do you think I feel?
Yeah,
I go to a comic store, and it looks like a cave, and I'm like, oh, good, I'm going to be tied up in the back by the end of this transaction. Awesome.
Woo! Yeah. No.
Wait, when did comic shops start turning into that scene in Pulp Fiction? When did that happen? Oh, God.
Well, it's always been that, because they've been started by collectors, and collectors are not the most socially adept.
See, I would think it would be the opposite. It'd be like, a girl! And they'd all jump behind the counter and hide.
Well, you know, it depends. I actually met a girl worked at a anime store, and she said that sales, like, tripled when she was working just because people would come in and try and find an excuse to talk to her. They couldn't think of anything other than buying a thing.
Yeah.
And then she won.
Yeah, okay, well, that's for a female sales associate. I'm talking about just a female customer like me who shows up, who wants to see this. Like, what was one thing I bought?
And I know they don't have a website. And another is Beyond Comics, which is a very nice, very...
Okay, well, here's a question, and I know this gets us a little off topic, but do you think a kind of Borders, Barnes & Noble kind of shop would work in that was all comics? Like, if a comic book shop had coffee and reading areas and that kind of cafe approach.
That would be a bad idea.
No, I agree with what you're saying here. It does help if a comic book store has, you know, a lot of lighting. Like the one that I go to is called Rising Sun Creations, rsc-creations.com. Pretty sure that's a website. They have a website. Thank you. Anyway, they have a very, very bright store. There's a lot of light in their store. You know, they have – it's very, very clean. Things are not just in boxes off to the side or whatever. Everything is very neat and very well arranged. So, yeah, I think it really helps for customers to be able to walk in and feel that they're in a nice, clean, pretty, happy environment. It makes them want to come back again and buy. And, you know, they don't feel like they're going to be tied up and molested in a basement.
That is good. It should just be on the storefront. You know, we won't tie you up and molest you in a basement.
I don't know about the reading area. I mean, you're looking at a, like, these guys are trying to sell the comics, you know?
Yeah,
and if you got some dude just sitting around reading the comic, then puts it back on a shelf, you know, that wouldn't be too cool.
Yeah, no. Don't make them too comfy, obviously, but at least make them feel welcome. I mean, this is for any store, really. It's store and branding and, like, perfect example of this, the Apple Store. They work so hard in putting their store setup together in a way that makes you feel like it's a magical, happy candy land of computers and you want to go. Comic book shops would benefit from the same kind of marketing strategy. They really would.
Well, even more to direct, look at what happened with Barnes & Noble and the revolution of putting chairs in bookstores. I mean, just the fact that you could get in there, you could read, and you could feel comfortable.
No. Barnes & Noble isn't the example to go by these days. They're fine.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, Borders. No. Yeah, Borders is better. Barnes & Noble is doing okay so far. So, okay, let's move on to the next one, though.
Sounds good.
Franklin Covey, the 7 Habits of Effective... Oh, no, wait, I can't say that. We'll get sued. Schlock Mercenary... Let's start over there. Schlock Mercenary... put out a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Pirates, which, even though it was a complete parody of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, have now received a takedown notice, basically. So they have to change the name to The 7 Maxims of Maximally Effective Mercenaries.
Yeah.
Which is an awesome title.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, the whole thing here, and I mean, it makes a certain amount of sense on both sides. For Schlock Mercenaries, he just said, okay, I'll change the title. Can I still sell the stocks I have? And they said, fine. And for The 7 Habits, for Franklin Covey, the title is all he has. It's that's what, I mean, that's the main selling point. Otherwise, it's the same self-help book that you see everywhere. And so that title has to be defended because that's the only thing that sets him apart. So
it sounds like the 7 Habits thing, if someone came up with that today, it'd just be a blog post.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have you seen articles that are like, here are the 7 greatest characters from this or the 5 greatest that? I mean, He just hit on that bullet point list sooner than anyone else.
Yeah, but
let him defend it. The net result is that, I mean, yeah, the original title had to be retconned, but the Schlock Mercenary guy actually came up with something better. So, you know what? Good for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, why don't we move on to the next one? About Wizard. Mark, do you want to introduce this one?
Well, Wizard has apparently ceased publishing. Wizard, the famous or infamous, depending on your point of view, comic book magazine, which I have not bought a copy of that in a billion years. But I have bought maybe one or two in my lifetime. Sort of a throwback magazine. I don't know what purpose it serves anymore today, but.
Do you guys miss Wizard? Does anyone?
No, I never I've never picked up one issue of Wizard in my entire existence.
Yeah, me neither. I don't think I ever remember having read a copy of Wizard.
Well, theoretically, this was supposed to be the preeminent comic book magazine about comic books, and I think there was a price guide in it too. If I remember, it's been so long since I looked at one.
I thought that was a separate thing. I thought like you could buy the magazine or the price guide. I mean, they put out a price guide.
You're probably right. You're probably right. But I mean, this magazine came in for a lot of criticism over the years. Every so often you'd hear about how terrible it was.
Yeah. It sort of was linked to the direct market, to the collector's market. You know, it was specifically styled to be new Fantastic Four number one coming out, and this will be worth $10 billion. You know, and that sort of thing is, and as that's gone downhill, it's sort of the fate of Wizard has gone downhill as well. The thing I found interesting about the article, though, is that now Wizard is saying we're going to focus on our conventions, and that's how we're going to make our money. Which,
seriously, yeah, that's a laugh.
See, this is where you all should be laughing, because have any of you guys been to a Wizard World?
They're all
no. Okay. That's the funny part.
Exactly. Thanks. I'm laughing. I was going to have a table at Wizard World LA a couple of years ago, and then they're like, oh no, we closed the convention. And I'm like, wait a minute, we need to close the convention. They're like, yeah, we canceled it for like ever. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not a good
with you're that a one, I've heard bad stories about Wizard World Philly. I've heard bad stories about all of them, actually.
Well, what makes it so bad is my question, other than the fact that they will cancel and fall off the face of the earth on you.
You remember how I said a comic book store is like a pedophile's basement? Wizard World is like a pedophile's convention center. Imagine a comic book store expanded to massive proportions, but it's still this creepy, bombed-out sort of feel to it.
It'll be everybody there will look like the comic book guy from The Simpsons and act the same way.
They do, and yeah. The prominent things that are being sold are not comic books. It's like Playboys and stuff that you just go, you know, and it's creepy. I went to one, and man, it was a creepy, creepy scene. It's a very old-style convention, and it's very uncomfortable.
Lovely. See, I went to Pasadena Comic-Con last year. I presented there, and it was dead, and like half the entertainment and draw there were porn stars. But even then, it wasn't creepy. It was just, oh, here is an old porn star. I'm like, okay. And even that wasn't creepy. So Wizard World manages to be more creepy than a convention whose predominant talent is porn stars.
Okay, well, hold on. So the audience of every convention is different and grows and changes naturally over time. That's kind of how it happens. But this article, which, by the way, comes to us via Fleen, thanks to Gary. From their legalese boilerplate, it says, accordingly, no assurances can be given that any of the events anticipated by the forward-looking statements will transpire or occur. Okay?
Great. Cancellations.
We're not sure if any of these shows are actually going to happen.
Oh, good. So they're going to make money off of shows that may or may not even happen. Okay, so yeah, Wizard World is a sinking ship.
Yeah. Seems to work for defense contractors, but I don't think it'll work for comics.
Yeah, basically Wizard World has been replaced by all the other websites like Fleen, like Comics Alliance, like Bleeding Cool, that report on stuff very regularly. And again, this is why a business has to have a website. Wizard World's website is homeless.
Okay, let's move on to all this iComic stuff. Okay. Now, Eric, you did a lot of the research here. Do you want to take us through?
Sure, I'll walk us through this. So this is going back to the beginning of the year. Marvel DC signed with Comixology, and digital comics were supposed to be the savior of the industry. And everyone was saying, okay, now that we have this, you know, we have this platform through Comixology where we can send people comics, but they can't copy it and they can't move it to any other devices. Now we're safe, and this is going to save the comic book industry. Fast forward a little bit, and what happens is at the end of the year, Comixology releases their top sellers. Among the top sellers is Mark Miller with Wanted. He was the top seller on Comixology. Mark Miller then says, all right, I hate to tell you this, guys, but I'm not making a lot of money off of this.
Okay, well, what is he calling a lot of money?
Well, he says he makes more from the comic books, even though he sold the most digital. And I mean, yes, Mark Miller is not hurting for money, and it's not really.
Mark Miller's doing just fine.
Yeah.
But the issue comes fine. To
a boohoo too hard for him.
Yeah, the issue comes to it more from the approach. This is kind of like the anti-recording industry. I mean, before it was like, we make so little on CDs, we'd rather make, you know, we'd rather try and get people to buy the digital downloads because we get more of the cut of that. But the difference between the digital downloads of artists and the digital downloads of comic artists is that digital downloads of artists is directly from the band straight to the iTunes store, straight to Amazon MP3 or whatever. This is one step more removed. It has to go through Apple, through Comixology, through the publisher, to the comics. So they're getting each step along the way, a percentage is being cut off. And what Mark Millar is saying is that once you cut all that stuff off a $3 download, he's making pittance.
Yeah.
Wow. And, lame.
And that's the problem, is that Mark Millar, is it Millar or Millar? Okay. Anyway, the point is he has so many middlemen going through here, he's literally getting cents on this $3 download. And so he's saying, look, it's just not – it doesn't make a lot of sense for me. And this freaks everyone in the industry out because he should be the – he should be making the most money. He was the top seller. And so we've got a whole bunch of posts here going through and analyzing it. We've got people looking at what the price settings are. You know, so the first thing is, why isn't he making money? And we have two articles for that. And I'm going to start reading where these come from here. Mark Millar came from his post via Twitter, and he posted on the blog he's not making money. Then from Robot 6 is a breakdown of the price from Evil Genius Chronicles, saying that the problem is you're not selling, you're setting the price too high, suppressing sales, and showing that you can make more money if you lower the price. Then from Robots...
Go ahead.
Yeah, then from Robot 6 via Publishers Weekly is a article that talks about, well, how much does it cost to make a dollar on sales? And it goes through and analyzes and shows, yes, that with all the middlemen that you have to go through here, you're making about 25 cents less per comic with a digital sale.
Now, here's the starting question. Do you guys think this is a problem of digital or a problem that Mark Millar just doesn't know how to make a dollar? Because, like... to me,
Mark Millar knows how to make a dollar. Yeah. If anybody knows how to make a dollar, this dude knows. So that's not it.
Well, but look, I mean, having all these steps in his process, I mean, couldn't Mark Millar have just made an app by himself and put it out there and then he'd be making all the money from it? Or, you know.
In theory, yes.
But directly through digital? I mean, I'm just saying, can you blame digital here or can you blame Mark Millar's current setup?
The problem is, if he doesn't have all these middlemen, then he doesn't get movies made about his comic. And if people don't, if a movie's not made about his comic, people don't want to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is, I've tried Comixology and I hate it. And the reason is, all the comics up there are set up like comic books, in that it's 20 pages where nothing happens. And you have to pay for the next one. And, you know, oh, you want to see what they say next? Pay for the next 20 pages.
And we've covered in the past how many flaws Comixology has.
Yeah.
How even though it's digital, it's clinging to the old model. It doesn't allow for bulk sales. It doesn't allow for subscribing to things. It doesn't allow for a lot of ways where it could be made better and take advantage of the medium.
Yeah. And so the reason he's the top seller is that there is a movie out there that gets people interested. Because if you looked at the top downloads from Comixology, it's Mark Millar's Wanted, it's Walking Dead, it's all the things that had movie tie-ins to it, the things that people are already familiar with and say, yes, I want to read the comic about that.
But I think that is very, very, very true. But it's also a matter of what goes on Comixology's front page. And just like the iTunes downloads pages, when you go to the iTunes store or the iTunes app stores or whatever, when you are on that front page, it is easier to stay on that front page.
Mm-hmm.
Because by getting on it for being one of the top downloads, and then it is easier to stay one of the top downloads because you are constantly being seen as a top download. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
top 40 music.
Yeah.
Once it's popular, it's easier for it to stay popular.
But to do that, you need all those middlemen. That's why those middlemen have to be there, because they're the ones that get you on that top page. So, yes, on a point, and I mean, the articles that we've collected go on to talk about this. So when we in response to this, the founder of Red 5 via Robot 6 and on their original site here talks about, you know, the problem he has is that he's going through Comixology and not making his own app. And Red 5 and the founder says says that if you make your own app, you make a lot more money off of it.
Well, yeah, because you pocket all the profits. You don't have to pay a third party.
Right. Yeah. And what's also looked at here is, yet again, talking about these middlemen, is this article via Bleeding Cool looking at Marvel's pricing structure. And if you take a look at that article, it goes through, and Marvel asks a lot of Comixology to run their app. If you take a look in the article, Marvel gets a minimum of 70% of the sales revenue after cuts from Apple. They set a minimum price of $199. You can't set it lower. And they also, you have to pay them up front. $150,000 to $250,000 to use their things. So you have to pay in advance. So basically, you pay them $150,000, and that's an advance on the 70% that they're supposed to get. However, if you don't sell that much, then
they keep it anyway.
They keep it anyway.
What fuckers? Sorry.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of money. You know, if Marvel just wanted to pay me $150,000 for anything, I'd just call it a day.
So, a lot of blame is being put on the middlemen here, both Marvel and Comixology. And so, a couple of people came up with some systems that we talked about earlier. One coming from the original link from ComicsBeat, and posted on the site massivesquirty.com of a system that you can go through to sell your books, sell PDFs without having to go through iTunes or Apple or anything like this. So this is cutting off out all the middlemen. And it even uses a system on PayPal that doesn't have any charges either. So it's entirely free. You get to keep all the money. But even if you did it with PayPal charges are relatively low. And Alan Gardner, Scotty Young tried this and actually found that they made better money just selling PDFs than trying to go through all the middlemen and iTunes stores for their level of popularity. But the key was, he said he had to keep people coming to his site to sell it.
I just want to jump in real quick in here. The quote unquote free option on PayPal is when you make a quote unquote personal transfer. Now, when you make a personal transfer, it's not the same as when you select to purchase something from an auction or payment for something like that. I don't know if they can come back at you for basically falsifying a transfer, but in that case, you lose any protections that a sale transfer would have when it's a personal one. So just keep that in mind. That's all I'm saying.
And PayPal can come down on you like a ton of bricks if they think you're breaking their agreements.
Yeah, they basically freeze all your money and never give it to you.
Yeah. So I think part of that system is questionable.
But even ignoring that one part, I think the rest has merit. The one issue is, though, that it's a matter of one marketplace versus many marketplaces, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if everything goes through Comixology, then everything's in one place. Then it's kind of a one-stop shop, and if you're comfortable with Comixology, blah blah blah. Versus if you're going, everyone having their own way of doing things, then you have to figure it out through each system and all that kind of jazz.
Yeah.
But the only reason Comixology can be a one-stop shop is if the big name creators go with Comixology. And if they're not making money, if Mark Millar is not making money and he's saying, maybe I'm going to stop doing this, then Comixology very quickly becomes, you know, not the one-stop shop anymore because it doesn't have any good comics.
So is this a natural bump in the road? I mean, this is the Wild West of digital downloads.
Yeah, it's one of these things where we're going to figure out if Comixology in a single store and the advantage of having a single store and getting a lower price is better than the independent creator selling it through their website. And this is something that's going to, I think it's going to shake out, and over the next year we're going to see which system wins.
Okay, well, let me ask you guys. Let's say you didn't have any effort to put forth. It was a pretty straight shot. Which way would you guys go? Now, I realize I'm talking to a bunch of independent creators, but I'll ask anyway. What do you guys think?
Well, I don't see people wanting a million different apps for a million different creators.
Yeah.
You need a one-stop shop, like an iTunes, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And until that shakes out, it's going to be kind of a hodgepodge.
But at the same time, you can do PDFs, and that's all in one place. I mean, that's not an app for each one. It's a file for each one. And PDFs are ultimately portable.
But nobody on, say, an iPhone can read something like a PDF without having an email to them, without, you know,
you have to know what you're doing well enough to do that.
Yeah, and you still got to track them down. That's the thing.
Right. Yeah, you still have to track them down. Right. So if you're popular enough to get all your fans from your site, it's a matter of, are you trying to get new fans or are you trying to just sell things to the ones you already have? Because if you're just trying to sell to the ones you already have, then sure, sell them PDF. You know, they'll buy it. But if you're trying to get new fans, you will not find them on your site. You will need to find them in a more open marketplace like a Comixology.
But if we look at the top sales from Comixology, it was the people who had existing fans. There was no breakout success on Comixology. There was no Axe Cop. There was no XKCD. There was no comic that no one expected to do so well, but it really did well. It was all the known products.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, you said yourself that a lot of the biggest sellers were media tie-ins, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's not fans of the original comic. That's fans of the movie, fans of the TV show, or just people that have heard of it and want to read the things first or after or whatever. I mean, that's media tie-in. That's I mean, that's like if Axe Cop comes out with a movie, which would be awesome, then...
Oh, man.
That would be insane.
You know, then if they were on Comixology, they would have the same... I would think they would have the same results, no matter who they are. No matter who's reading it before.
But let's put it this way. If you don't have a movie, is there any advantage to being on Comixology?
Hold on. Are we talking about Comixology? Let's be clear. Are we talking about Comixology? Or are we talking about a site like Comixology? Because I think we can all agree there's a lot of issues with Comixology right now. But the real question is, if a site, you know, going with a site like this, and yes, you're going to have to pay to get into it, or going with a site of your own, whatever it is.
I'm probably just going to end up going with a site of my own just because the actual invested money would cost a lot less than just getting into Comixology. And as an independent creator, you have to constantly work on building your fan base anyway, and that doesn't get done through Comixology. That gets done elsewhere. That gets done by, you know, hoofing in on the internet, making public appearances, you know, in your local area, working cons. That's how that gets done. It doesn't get done
through
Comixology. Is really just a distribution channel. It's kind of like the new diamond, sort of.
Yeah. And I mean,
I think that fits pretty well because considering how many problems people have with diamond, it's calling it seems pretty accurate.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
All right. Any other thoughts with all this digital comics?
Yeah, and it's just that it's not the land of milk and honey everyone thought it was going to be. You know, right. that if you want to make money at this, just saying, well, we'll sell it digital is not going to do it for you. And that if you're going through Comixology, you're going to get such a small margin, you better have big numbers. Otherwise, if you don't have the large numbers, it seems to me makes a lot more sense to make your own app or to sell a PDF and not deal with the middlemen.
All right. Let's move on then to the tidbits. Prominent fantasy writer China Meville jumps into comics, and he's posting the comic on his Tumblr account. This article comes to us via robot6.comicbookresources.com. Have you guys checked that out yet?
Yes.
Well, I'm not familiar with China Melville's work, so I really can't comment. Great. Good. I don't know.
It looks very indie comic. It's very reminiscent of something.
Homeless?
No, I mean it's reminiscent of something you would find in the backs in the back of the comic book store in the 60s and 70s. It's
or the free daily newspaper in a big city.
Yeah.
I hate that lettering.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate that lettering. I can't read it. I hate it.
Yeah.
Okay,
It looks like a comic meant to be print, not for the web.
This is the sort of thing that would look like it would do well at like Ape Alternative Press Expo. This is not stream comics. This is just
I drew some pretty pictures. Do you go with my fantasy stories?
Yeah, it's I mean, if you were going to some of the indie conventions out there, you know, the Small Press Expo in DC or Ape or something like that, this would do very well. On the web, it's not really eye-catching. And
on the web, it just looks like kind of a crappy pencil drawing.
Not to sound all, you know.
Better than I could do.
Yeah. Well,
okay, I'm
going to
say this. I just got to say this. If you're going to get into comics, especially in this day and age, you have to – I mean, I hate to do this because the last time I did this, I totally got my head taken off. But you have to have something that is at least kind of visually catching. And if you don't, then you really have to depend very much on your writing to sell the work. Like XKCD, the artwork is, you know, stick figures, but it's the writing that really gets everybody gravitating towards it. But something like this, you know, you really, I'm not, like I said, I'm not familiar with his writing, so I don't know if his writing is enough to sell it, but you're really putting yourself at a disadvantage if you don't have a style that's at least kind of visually engaging. And this is just really, really distant frames that kind of look like drawn in pencil, I guess. I don't know. I'm squinting pretty hard at this.
Yeah,
maybe it's the framing because it's a good draw. It's the town as well.
This guy looks like I looked him up on Wikipedia. He looks like he could kick your ass. So you know you want to be careful what you say about the pen. But
yeah,
you don't scare me. I've been to comic book shops. Oh,
there
this
it is
better than I could trace.
Yeah, I mean. looking at the art is very detailed. I mean, someone has put a lot of work in, but the problem is it's not made for the web. I mean, it's sort of gray and bland and just
detailed. It's it's visually. I think it's visually appearing. I think the story is just it's in an introduction and has been for the last 10 pages. I mean, there's 10 pages of introduction of like establishing shots and eerie starting to tell something, but it hasn't actually.
It looks more like panels than it does pages.
Are we reviewing webcomics now?
Apparently. The point I wanted to get to is that a lot of times when people from traditional comic books or in the indie comic book scene come to the web, what they do is they make an indie comic on the web, which does not work well because the web is a much more visual medium and much faster paced to catch people.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you can have a different goal. than just than I mean, you not everyone's trying to make a web comic in, and I don't mean a comic on the web. I mean the specific kind of tone and tropes of web comics. Not everyone is trying to make that. Some people are just trying to make something digital and it's easier to post it online, and that's fine. Like China here might very well be doing getting exactly what he wants out of the deal just by doing this. So but we'll see how it turns out. And I gotta say, I don't think there are enough comics on Tumblr. Tumblr is a great place to get a comic around, so
I guess I never thought of using Tumblr for like an actual comic. Usually Tumblr is just little photo galleries like antiduckface.com or something.
Yeah, well, actually, there's a comic called Big Damn Deal that is written by Nick Douglas and Aaron Fusco, and the entire thing uses Tumblr, and that way it doesn't use Comic Press. It's a really easy format, and it can pick up on the Tumblr community, ideally. I don't think.
What about Tumblr for a mirror? Tumblr for a mirror site.
I started actually using Tumblr as kind of a mirror site. I didn't want to just make it a mirror, so what I started doing was I'll post kind of like director's commentary of comics on my Tumblr, and I'm letting it slowly pick up. I'm not putting the biggest amount of effort into it, and it picks up followers here and there, and it seems to be working out okay. Yeah, someone to look into, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. I suppose.
Yeah, because you know, if you see how much love I Love Charts can get on Tumblr, then you can quickly see possibilities for spending a comic, especially if your comic is a day to day kind of thing and not a story based thing.
Yeah, exactly. I would shoot myself in the foot.
Yeah. Okay. So one quick thing before we need to start closing out. In the same way that Wizard has closed its doors, it seems as though Daily Cartoonist is in the process of shutting down part of their comments feed and is no longer letting some of their more bombastic users post on there right now. Alan Gardner of Daily Cartoonist has gotten back to me saying that nothing officially has been posted about this. Lots of hints are scattered in the comments or in emails to individuals, but he's still working on the details. But it could be the start of a very different dailycartoonist.com for those of you out there that read it and follow the drama that it entails.
This comes to you from Kurt's Watch. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
You said it, no.
And with that,
comment on there a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I checked.
Kind of a vocal guy. A statement.
And I gotta say, that forum, you know, having an open forum, like, for all of its problems, of which I have many, like, it needs to be somewhere. And having it in somewhere, you know, easily accessible like the Daily Cartoonist is really convenient in comparison to trying to follow everyone's Twitter or something like that. You know, it's nice having it archived. So, you know, we'll see what shakes out, and if you are not able to, you know, get in on the Daily Cartoonist feed, let us know. We're trying to follow the story as it develops, because we're news, damn it.
As it happens.
And with that, we should probably start saying goodbye. Thank you all for tuning in to the Webcomic Beacon Newscast, episode 159. We hope you've all enjoyed the show. Be sure to check out more over at the Webcomic Beacon, webcomicbeacon.com. And thanks again to each of our panelists. Thanks to Mark Savory. Thanks to Eric. Thanks to Fess for putting everything together. Thanks to Jules. And I, of course, have been Roscott. Thank you all so much for listening. We hope you turn next time. By the way, we record Sundays at 11 a.m. And we're always posting on our Twitter feeds. You can follow at Webcomic Beacon for details on that. Thank you all so much, and we hope you have a pleasant week. Peanut butter and jelly, everybody. See you next time.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.